Yo, welcome to another episode of the No Repercussions Podcast. I'm your host, Brunson. We got the crew on the line today. We got the boy, Smitty. What up, though, Smitty?
What up?
And you got my brother, used to be Dane's brother. What up, though, Crisco Kid?
What's up, bro?
Shit. Everybody feeling good?
Oh, yeah.
All right, y'all ready? Ready to get into it, then. I want to ask people, why do we feel the need to body shame others? So I'm going to start off with you, Smitty. And the reason for this topic, we just want to discuss, you know, how that feels. Why do we continue to do it? Is it a, you know, confidence thing for ourselves? But why do we continue to body shame others or feel the need to do it? So Smitty, take it away.
Well, I want to first off to start to think about, like, what is body shaming, right? Like, body shaming is the I'm going to call it the art of like dissing somebody because their body isn't what mainstream will call an approved body, right? Whether when we think of a model or a fitness guru, those are body types that we kind of like, right? We don't ever body shame those folks, right? Unless you us and be a big guy, then I body shame them. I'm like, they don't eat. they don't know no good food, right? You know? But I think the need to body shame is a way to elevate yourself, to make you feel better. Right. When you body shame somebody, you're like, okay, yeah, I know I'm a big guy, but I know you bigger than me. So I'm gonna laugh at you like, ha 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 ha, you know, or if you skinny, you too skinny, right. You can't gain weight. You know what I'm saying? So it goes both ways, right? Like there's no like balance. Like when you big, you kind of shame like skinny people, like, oh, you don't know good food, or did you just throw up yesterday, or did you, know say, like, you say shit to like make them feel bad.
God damn, that's mean. Somebody can have a real eating disorder. You just gonna be like, oh, you throw up yesterday? Good lord,
fuck it, you know, like. But I mean, that's what it is. When we body shame somebody, it makes you feel better. Like I know it's hard to say. Like I've been on both ends of the spectrum. I've been the skinny guy, like you walking like, dude, you sick? Like you about to die? Like what's going on? Right. Then I'm the big guy now where it's like, dude, lay off the donuts or push the plate back, or, you know, like, is that, you know, it's on both ends. So I think it's just make you feel better.
Okay, but why does it make you feel better? Right. Like, it shouldn't make you feel better. I mean, granted, this is, you know, me being all kumbaya, but it shouldn't make you feel better putting down others, or, you know, making others feel less wanted or less attractive, right? Like that shouldn't be the go-to to boost our self-esteem.
I think misery, that statement, misery loves company. I think it makes you feel like it makes you feel good. Cause like I've always been that kid that always trying to find somebody to be as miserable as I am. So like I'm always trying to make somebody down, like no matter what it is. Like you could be having, we could have the best day. Like you could be like, oh, I won the lottery. I said, so you won the lottery, huh? So now you're about to have all these people come after you and you're going to lose all your money because you're going to spend it because you're going to quit your job. Like, I'm going to find some way to bring you down that you just won the damn lottery to make you feel bad, right? It just, I don't know. It's just something about it that you got to feel as low as I do in that moment when you feel like, you know what I'm saying? So
you need therapy. I don't know. You need therapy. You need to have somebody talk to you about that. that's not healthy. That's all I'm gonna say. That's not healthy. All right, I'm gonna go over to Chris. Chris, what about you? Why do people feel the need to body shame others?
Shit, man, I guess it's just like with anything, man. Like Smitty said, misery loves company. I guess somebody always gonna have something to say about something, whether you fat, skinny. You know, it's just what Americans do is find something wrong with something what people do.
So could body shaming be a good thing, right? Like, could you saying something to a person, or you know how you hold, well, I'm going to tell my age. You know, I remember Jenny Jones went back in the day, and Jenny Jones used to be like, look, you call me the ugly kid or the fat kid, and now you bring me back like, oh, now I'm beautiful. Like, could that body shaming inspire people? Like, is it a good thing to body shame people?
Well, I don't think so. I don't believe in making people feel bad, man. Now, as I'm older, you know, I used to probably be an asshole when I was younger, but now as I'm older, man, I don't feel the need to make, because as I've gotten older, I realized life be throwing niggas curveballs, man, and you don't know what a nigga going through. So I just don't feel the need to make somebody at this age feel bad about whatever's going on. But, you know, when I was a kid, I'm pretty sure, you know, I've ugly shame motherfuckers, fat shame. I'm fat, so I probably talk shit about another motherfucker being fat or skinny. You know, I guess I just gave back what motherfuckers dished at me, you know. I got good at it. When motherfuckers talk about me being fat, I either fucked around and slapped their ass or either I say some crazy shit back about them. So, but now as an adult, I'm kind of like, eh, no need.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this new revelation happened yesterday. You know, 24 hours ago, he was calling people all kind of fat motherfuckers. But today, you know, hey, you know, he turned over a new leaf. Nah, I'm just fucking with you, man. Okay, Smitty, what about you? Can body shaming be a good thing?
Yeah, you know, I think it's that. I think Khloe Kardashian had a show called like Revenge Body or something. That was remind me of like the Jenny Jones back in the day where Jenny Jones was like geek to chic and stuff like that. Yes, I remember the title.
I was about to say, God damn, you watch Jenny Jones a lot.
Fab to Fab or something like that. That's one of her topics.
It took to figure out who Jenny Jones was.
You know, but I think it could be a good thing, especially when you need that kick, right? Like sometimes it may be just that one person that say something, you like, ooh, I better do something about this, you know what I'm saying? Cause you know, like it could be your kid, it could be your parent, it could be I remember my mother used to say, she's like, well, you can skip a few meals. I remember when she first told me that, I died. I was like, what do you mean? Like, I ain't fat. She was like, I'm not going to call you fat, but you probably need to skip a few meals. And so I think that helps kind of put you into things. I think really honestly, self body shaming helps a little bit too. Cause like, if you ever like, I was looking at myself in some pictures and I was like, oh my God, I have to do something about this weight. Right.
Yeah. Every picture I take, I think that, yeah.
I just feel like, I'm like, where did this go? Like, I mean, I'm telling you, it's been exhilarating to be able to eat the fuck I want to eat and not give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? But it's at a point where it's like, shit, like I have a long way to go back down.
Mm-hmm. What you say, Chris?
I said it shouldn't get out of hand quick.
It do.
And then it's hard to jump back on that wagon, man. It's like, shit. This food is so delicious, man.
Yes.
Especially yes. Butter. Anything with butter that's fried. Oh, man. Because right now, this whole conversation, while you talking, all I can think is I want a 6-piece fried hard with extra mild sauce. That's all I can think about. Because I'm fat. I was like, man, that sounds like some good shit to have. But yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I mean, especially in the today's climate, the where we at, like, yeah, I guess body shaming, I can see the positives coming out of it. Like you said, like, hey, it may motivate you to go work out or lose some extra weight or say, oh, shit, these pictures ain't how I used to look. Or, you know, the comments come that you ain't used to getting. I mean, I've been a big dude all my life, so I've been pretty good. You got to be creative to hurt my feelings these days. If you ain't creative, then I might, whatever. If you creative, I might be like, God damn, that stung a little bit. Then I might have to fire back. But do know, because I've been a big guy all my life, my capping skills are really good. You know, yeah, I shoot daggers. Yeah, you know, I'm gonna end the game. But yeah, so in today's climate, man, I just think it's a little much, especially, you know, with how people are struggling with depression. And like you said earlier, Chris, like you don't know what curveball a motherfucker have going on in their life, or you know, that might have just been the straw from, you know, you saying that shit, and you know, now I'm about to go just take out my frustrations on the whole world, right? Because somebody just, you know, that last thing was the what piled up upon me to, you know, that body shaming. But so let me take it a step further and let me ask you this, to take it out the negative connotation in me and say, well, is it body shaming if it's true? Right? Like if I am a fat ass, which is true. I mean, you could skip a couple meals, which is true. Like, is it body shaming in, or am I just looking, is this my way of looking out for you? What do you think, Smitty?
I could see that. I could see that. I think it could do, I don't know.
Just call it what it is. Call it bullshit. Because that's what you right. Give your face. You looking like, nah, fuck that. Nah. Man, look, I mean, because listen, I done had people, I think in their best intentions was like, you know, send you shit or like email you shit and be like, hey, hey, you know, check this out. You know, I just, you know, I want to look out for you and I think you this. And the whole time all you could be like is, you know, go play in traffic, right? And they could mean well, but like you still body shaming me, even though it might be polite, you know, you can politely call me an idiot, right? It's still body shaming, so it's still like hurtful. So I don't know. Like I don't know if it's true. I think it's still body shaming, even if it may be true, even the things that people may say is true. I think it's still body shaming, and I think, you know, there's other ways to help people, you know, in regards to you got concern for their weight or their life, but also you gotta let people live life too. So
I think everybody has a body shaming problem internally, no matter what your body looks like.
Exactly. Right?
You know, like fat guys want to be skinny. Skinny guys want to be fat. Like, yeah. Oh, if I could just gain some weight, I'd be so happy. You'd be like, no, it's not fun. Like, it's not right. fun. You right. know what I'm saying?
True. That's true.
You know, and then what I kind of want to talk about is the fact is that, well, I got two things. One, I knew I became a big guy is when people stopped calling me Little Courtney. Like we used to be, I've been Little Courtney for a long time, and
that's true.
I'm no longer Little Courtney, so I knew I became a big guy then. Second thing is, people don't know like losing weight costs a shitload of money.
Fuck yeah, it does.
Like no matter how much fucking spinach and lettuce and shit you buy. Losing weight costs so much money.
That shit ain't cheap.
And people are like, well, what do you mean it costs a lot of money? You could just eat right, eat better. Like to buy, like don't buy ground meat, buy ground, like you gotta basically buy the better ground steak. Like you basically gotta buy ground steak, right?
Yeah.
To kind of get some ground beef. That's expensive.
Or you just go to ground turkey. So then you gotta sacrifice like
flavor and sauce.
well, that's for one, but you sacrifice the fucking, you know, just how much money that shit costs. I mean, like mm-hmm. ground beef is a lot cheaper than ground turkey sometimes. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it is. It's costful, you know, especially if you're trying some kind of new, you know, some fad diet or some exercise plan that costs money, you know, meal prepping. It's more cost effective in the long run, but the time that you have to do it, and like most of us, I mean, shit, time is a commodity, you know. I guess we make time for the things we want to make time for, but like, you know, sometimes you just don't have time to go that extra step, or you don't see the benefit in that, taking that time to make that extra step, I should say. So you yeah. like, fuck it. I mean, shit, you know, oh, they got a 2 for $5 at McDonald's. That'll get me through, right? You know, yep. So that's the listen, way to go.
I love a McGriddle in the morning. Like, ooh, let me get a McGriddle.
Yeah, man, you had me on a dangerous path with them bitches. I was on a dangerous path when I'm at Griddle in the morning, boy. I was like, oh god, I got to stop this shit. That shit was like crack.
Who puts a pancake with syrup and shit and sausage and egg and everything on a sandwich?
A goddamn genius.
Man, that shit with them bitches was dead. Especially, don't let them give you a fresh one with hot and the cheese still melting. Oh my god!
So listen, I only order a sausage cheese McGriddle because they don't make those like on a menu, so they have to make it fresh. So I always order a sausage cheese McGriddle, right? Don't have the egg on there. That's what I always order. They always hot.
Man, I used to do the pork buster.
Oh,
bacon and sausage
on the McGriddle.
Yes,
I didn't even know that was possible. Why you ain't throw the Canadian bacon on there too?
I don't like Canadian bacon.
No,
ham.
There's that.
So, do body shame? Is there a point where it's too far? Where we've body shamed somebody? So, like, it's gone too far?
Yeah, I think so. I think you mentioned it earlier when, like, well, you made a joke about it with people wanting to go throw up and shit. But I mean, I think when you push people to bulimia or to the point where it's now in a psychosis that I am now not beautiful unless I'm X, Y, and Z. I am not as healthy unless I look like X, Y, and Z. And I think that's pushing people too far. I mean, I think there's limits with it, right? Like, you know, you could generally be concerned and like, hey, person, you know, you having health issues now because of the weight you've gained and or lack thereof the weight you gain, right? Like you're too skinny or like, you're having these issues because you're not eating enough. I think when you push it to a point where people are, you know, it's 24/7, their whole life is consumed by it, and now they're thinking about harming themselves because of the shame that he got. And I think that's when it goes too far.
Okay. Let me put it this way. Let's take like some of that out the way, right? Well, what if the person body has really bad odor and it makes them do something better? Like, you know, like I went to school with a girl, she smelled rank. Okay. Rank. Like the woman never showered. Okay. like she would be one of them hoarders with the dead cats in her house. Okay. I swear. But like literally we shamed her so bad about her smell that she turned herself around. Assuming she started bathing.
But see, here's the thing. Did y'all shaming her turn her around, or did the thousands of dollars she spent in therapy because you fuckers making her feel horrible turn her life around? Tomato, tomato to you, huh?
Right. Something led to the right way.
But that's fucked up. I mean, granted, there is a way to tell somebody that their hygiene is poor, but like, you know, talking about it, I mean, kids are mean. Shit, my daughter's mean. They four. They don't know no better. And I kind of want them to keep it that way. Like, say what you mean, right? Like, you know, you don't got to have no filler sometimes. But they always be like, "Daddy, your stomach in the way." They'd be like, "Well, God damn." And I had to remember it's a 4-year-old child before you say something back. We're like, "Well, shit, you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for this stomach." So nah. but you can't say no wild shit like that to a 4-year-old, right? But I'm just saying, like, you know, people go, like, I think there are ways to talk to people about, you know, things that you say, "Hey man, you kind of need to address that because you over here smelling like spoiled sausages and that ain't good." You know, I mean, outside of the car, telling them they smell like spoiled sausages. So
yeah. What about other parts of the body that can be body shamed and it's more acceptable? Is there any acceptable body parts that you could shame somebody on, like their feet?
I don't know. I don't know. What about you, Chris? What do you think? Do you think there are any acceptable body parts that people can shame you on?
Man, if you stink, you shouldn't really be stinking, man. But there's a lot of niggas that don't wash their ass, so.
It is.
I mean, if a nigga smell bad enough and you around me, I'm going to let you know, body shaming or not, nigga, you stink.
Wait. Did we just have a revelation just a few minutes ago?
I told you that shit was 24 hours ago.
That's different. Motherfuckers stinking is a problem. Like, you know, like maybe I need to ask a nigga, you going through some shit, you need to use my shower, baby. You shouldn't be stinking.
Man, maybe they thought they did a good job, man.
Well, then you need to go back to the drawing board, dog, and I'm going to let you know about it.
Damn.
Especially, man, if you done came around me 2-3 days, man, and you smell like ass chips, bro. I'm like, oh.
Ass chips.
I'm like, nigga, did you wash up? He wash up with the towel you wiped the toilet down with? Nigga, why? You smell terrible.
Maybe some cats, man. I know a cat got sent home twice from his job from not smelling right, baby.
Oh, man, what you said?
Shaming.
Oh, I think I know who you're talking about.
Is that body shaming the motherfucker sent home from work?
I mean, because at what point does your body shame, does it become body shaming then that it travels on over to like a health risk to other people, right? Because you're right. Like, if you can't come in here with an infection that you ain't taking care of, that growth on your body and that shit contagious, right? Like, I mean, yeah, it might be body shaming to be like, nigga, you look like Quasimodo, but that shit popping out pus, bro. You gotta go on somewhere with that. Like, you can't be in this bitch giving that to everybody, affecting the worker, right? So, like, I don't know, man. Like, I mean, that's a thin line, right? Like, it might be body shaming. They may take offense to it, but at the same time, you got the health and lives of other people to take in consideration. And if you smell bad.
I'm going to say something, man. It's really, this world is soft as shit.
Oh, here we go. I knew it was coming.
Body shaming or there's something mean about me or you don't agree with me. It's like, oh my God. Like, nigga, come on, dog. You know, I get it all the time about, you know, man, you don't particularly like any race. And I don't. I just had this conversation with my friend. I'm equal to my prejudices. And people will realize to themselves about different shit. The world would move a lot smoother. Man, everybody ain't gonna be your friend, man. Everybody ain't gonna say something nice to you. So fuck it and fuck them.
I mean, this is true. That's a mic drop. Okay, I get what you're saying. But I still think there's a point in going too far. Maybe it is. Maybe we did get too soft.
Is it a reason to go too far? Or is nigga skin just soft now, man? I can remember being made fun of every day by a nigga until I just beat this nigga ass. I ain't go home and cry. I ain't go home and cut my computer off or all they bullying.
Did you have a computer?
I'm gonna hang myself. Computers was just coming out. That's my thing. It's like everybody's soft, man. Motherfucker jumping off the bridge because the motherfucker was mean to him in school, dog. Suck that shit up. Punch that nigga in the face. Man up. God damn.
Well, this is another show for another topic, but is that a lack of like male influence in the house? Like, we'll talk about that another show, but I'm just keep that in mind. Like,
could be. Or these niggas just soft nowadays.
Man, I think, you know, everybody get a trophy for everything, right? So maybe they are a little too soft. I don't know. I just think you do chat. It should be boundaries. I mean, you know, did growing up people calling you fat? I mean, everybody talk about me. Either I'm fat. I mean, like, in your sense, Smitty, like, I get called Gigantor or be like people telling me how the air up there. Or, Jesus Christ, like, why are you so tall? Are you 7'3"? It's like, no, I'm not. I'm not. I'm just, you know, I'm average height.
Look, though.
See, right there. That's what I'm
look. He could change them light bulbs in that damn ceiling that he is right there.
I can actually. Oh, listen, funny story. Then we gonna
come over. I be needing to change the batteries on my back light on the porch.
That's fucked up, man. I am a human being, guys. I have feelings.
Is that a bad body shame though that you fucking tall?
Nah.
No, motherfuckers can make fun of you. Yeah. I mean, you might be high sensitive, man.
So this comes from the nigga who posts a picture of me and him with a Danny DeVito twins outfit on. Man, fuck you, man. Fuck you. That's all I can say.
Hey, man, listen, you used to try make fun of me.
Stop being the older brother to the nigga that's 6'9". And you I had a bitch ask me one time, are y'all same parents? Yeah.
Listen, I'm saying, you know, there is high sensitivity to, you know, being tall. Like, people take that for granted, right? Like, I might take people being shorter than me for granted too. But funny story, it pays to be tall because I was in my garage and I was like, oh shit, I'm about to step in the door well to get up here to change my garage pad, and all I had to do is reach up and touch the button. See, I realized it. I was like, oh shit, I gotta do. Oh man,
have you ever had to grab a ladder?
I do, but I only use like the first two stairs. It's rare that if I gotta get all the way up at the top of a ladder, then that's a high ass ceiling. So anybody else,
I think get up there no damn way.
Nah, I do, but I be terrified. That's another stuff. I got fear of heights. Anybody else for the body shame? You got anything else?
As we just body shamed you.
I mean, that's what I'm saying, because it'd be fucking horrible. It'd be your family, your friends. You have to be no enemy. You motherfuckers close to you. You niggas is insensitive fucks. Stop again, body shaming people.
From the nigga who posted on Facebook a picture of me and him with Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Man, you average height.
Every 2 years.
You average... Yeah, I just seen that shit. It must have just popped up on your feed because you taking it to heart. I'm sorry. My bad. I'm
talking to somebody, but I don't care.
Listen, you used to make fun of me all the time. That's why I used to go around telling people you had recessive genes. That's why you were so short.
I do have to say about body shaming, though, is that I think I body shame people less out loud, but more in my head.
That's fucked up worse. You judgmental fuck.
Hey man, so do I.
I mean, we all do.
I think being an adult, we can't say that out loud, but you know, you be wanting to say something about that. You'd be like, did they fucked up? Like, did they just step out the car like that? Like, I know that foot wasn't curled over like that.
Listen, man, going to a Walmart is a consistent in your head body shame.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You have a whole show in Walmart. You be just be like, your head, you just be like, ooh, 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 ooh. Like you go down the aisle. You be like, man, why am I down a Mexican aisle? I ain't never been down this aisle. I just gotta follow this person.
Right. Just to talk shit. So we say that to say, don't body shame people unless it's in your head. All right, moving on to the next topic. So let me ask y'all this, fellas. And, you know, I want to know, do you think opposite genders can maintain their friendship without developing a love interest. So, like, can you have a friend of the opposite sex and keep it straight that friends without never having any love or sexual interest involved? So, Chris, I'm going to go to you. What do you think? Do you think opposite genders can maintain a friendship without developing a love interest?
Yeah, I've had several women best friends that we've never done not one thing with each other.
But did you want
to? I'm going to go further with that question. It's not like you wouldn't do anything with them.
No, yeah, yeah. Yeah. At that time, not now. I mean,
but that's what I'm saying.
But back then, probably, but, you know, nah, probably not, because they was too much of my friend. Because, you know, that shit always ends bad with me. So I wouldn't with that person because they was too much of my friend. Even though, I didn't think they were ugly or nothing. I just wouldn't have.
I don't know about that.
No, seriously. I wouldn't. Not at all.
Okay. What about you, Smitty?
I don't think so. I don't think people of the same sex can maintain good relationships. but I think definitely of the opposite sex, I think it's very hard to maintain a friendship with somebody of the opposite sex. So somebody always has some type of interest stronger than the other. Like in Chris' situation, Chris is like, hey, I ain't got nothing to do with her. But I bet you brought her on the show. She'd be like, I found him really attractive. That's why I friended him. I thought we were gonna go some way, blah blah blah. But he just kind of stayed in the. He just kind of kept me in a friend zone. You know what I'm saying? Like it. I think it's always one side or the other, right? When you pick friends, like when you pick same sex friends, it's like that's my boy. We got common interests. We could do shit together, right? When you got opposite sex, it's like it started off on some type of flirtation kind of thing, or like it's never like I've never heard where it's like we had the same interests, so we became friends. It was like you know, I thought she was funny. We was both cracking jokes on each other, and we was slick kind of flirting, but we started talking a little bit more. We found out that it wasn't gonna go nowhere. You know, I always think it's harder to, you know, like when I think somebody always has a love interest in the other person. Like I always think it starts that way with opposite sex, and it develops into a friendship. But the basis is some type of love interest,
some kind of love interest attraction. So that's you saying that with all your female friends that started off as some one side or the other.
Yeah, like I believe so. I believe that any female friend I ever had, either they liked me or I liked them. I remember in high school. So I had a bunch of female friends in high school, and yeah, I remember like,
mm-hmm. When you let
go. See, talk to you exactly. I didn't want to do anything. Like I didn't want to do anything with them, or they didn't want to do anything with me. I don't know, but like somewhere it started.
No, she did, nigga. She did. You just was blind. She did.
But you know what I'm saying, like at the time I didn't realize it, you know what I'm saying, like, but everybody has that kind of, somebody has some type of love interest in one another, whether you be like I can honestly say the only person that I never had a love interest for, I don't know if she ever had love interest for me, but I don't think she did, but my one of my really, really good friends, her name's Veronica. Happy birthday, Veronica. Today is her birthday, June 6th.
Happy birthday, Veronica.
But I think I think me and her really had a true friendship. Like, I don't remember how I knew her name, but I remember like walking down a hallway, harassing her. She didn't know who I was. So I'm like, hey, Veronica, and I just keep walking. She didn't know who. She's like, how does motherfucker know my name? And so one day we was in the hallway by ourselves, and she was like, I was like, hey, Veronica. And I walked off. She's like, hey, come here. How you know my name? And we were friends ever since. So I think that's probably one of the few friendships that from an opposite sex perspective that we never had a connection like any way,
see,
shape, or form.
Listen, see, this is why I wish the ladies was on the show today, because I would want their opinion on that. Cause so like even them, like so one of y'all, you saying for the ladies that come on the show, one of y'all have an attraction one way or the other.
Yeah, like I'll be honest, I would give like the business if she wasn't my friend. Like Lake, I think Lake would be. You gotta delete this part out.
I am not deleting this. The fuck you mean I'm deleting this part out? Absolutely not.
But listen.
I'll blur her name out.
But I think there's some type of, like, not between me and Lake, but like definitely like me and Lake cool. I'm not trying to like have sex with Lake or anything like that. But I'm saying Lake be fascinating. Like Lake's kind of like a, like, how far can we go? You know, it's like, you know, like, I'm just saying, like, we gonna maintain a relationship, but like, I don't know if Lake has that attraction towards me, but I definitely had that attraction towards Lake, but I, you know, I'm out of it now, but gotcha. Just, you know, I'm just saying, like, you know,
I mean,
I know,
I understand where you're coming from.
Oh, see, well, now I guess I do have to edit this part. What minute part are we at? So I'm trying to see if I agree with y'all. I think you can be friends with the opposite sex without there being any attraction, you know, period. Yes, are there friends that became friends because you was like, damn, they're beautiful, I'm gonna talk to you, but it didn't go where I wanted it to go, and he ended up being a friendship. You're like, all right, well, cool, we is where we are. But I think you could just journal and be like, oh, because of the environment in, and you know what we experienced together, that we could just truly bond over this shit and not take it to like where we got to be physically involved. Like, we could have a relationship that didn't build on sex or love or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think you can build a relationship on that. Like, I have coworkers that I'm not, but like slightly
something,
there's something that gravitated you towards them, right? Like, you knew that they was married, you like, I'm not gonna fuck with them, but like y'all personalities mesh so well. Like, in another life, y'all probably would have dated.
I mean, I can see that. I can see that. Or like, you know, if the situations align, that you could date. But I mean, I don't know if I agree off rip that the basis of that found relationship, the starter of that relationship, was because there was some kind of sexual kindling between the two of y'all.
Let me ask you this, right? Like, okay, like, so when you make a friend, a coworker that's friend, right? Like, mm-hmm. like a true friend where y'all can talk in tech outside of work. Not you work together and you like, oh, she my friend, she my coworker. Like, somebody you gonna invite to your birthday party, right? Yeah, there was no like basis of attraction,
not for me. No,
that's because you probably met her while you were married.
Well, I did. I mean, yeah, I met her while I was married.
You had no attraction to nobody while you're married.
Because I met her while I was married, and you know, I met her in trauma because we worked a job that was full of trauma, right? But like, yeah, I didn't have any attraction for her, and I could probably say the same thing. I doubt if she had any attraction for me like that. But I mean, yeah, well, granted, I'm married. If it was somebody that I wasn't married, then yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure all's fair in love and war. When, you know, if I wasn't married and I was single, and then, you know, hey, play Russian roulette with your dick, you know, just throw it on the table, wherever land to go, shit.
Hey, them days, I used to say that a lot.
What Kobe said, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take?
That damn right. You know. I used to shoot this dick everywhere before I got married. Everywhere it was community big. I used to go to the goddamn free clinic so much, man. They knew my name, cuz
man, this shit like he was Norman. Cheers, Chris. Oh yeah, get that nigga the package.
So you couldn't give a woman some dick for her birthday. She'd be like, hey, what you want for your birthday? She's like, what you give for my birthday? I got you this dick. She said, I don't want no used gift.
Basically, nigga. I used to swab myself. I've been swabbed so much.
God damn, I ain't never heard a nigga giving himself a clap test. That's fucked up. Okay, so let me ask y'all this, fellas, because it's just fellas on here. What security would you need to allow your mate to have friendship with the opposite sex?
Fuck that.
Oh, shit. Why?
I don't know, man. I don't trust niggas, man. I trust myself. I trust my wife, though, man. So if she had a male best friend or a male friend, I probably wouldn't trip.
Because, so listen, you,
man,
you essentially just said what Smitty said, that because that nigga got some kind of underlying intention. That the basis of a friendship.
Just a new nigga that's all of a sudden come up? Nah, man, fuck that. You trying to fuck my old lady, nigga. I already know what time it is.
Oh, what if he genuinely just they just bonded over some shit and they became friends?
Why y'all bond? I don't got no new female friends.
What happened to me?
My friends since before I got married.
That happened to me. So me and I ain't my coworker just
on the phone with no random ass bitch I just started working with. No, nigga. Mm-mm. Cause you know something different with that, man. You've been around work people, man. Some of them work hoes. They be sure as hell.
I worked with this lady. She was about 50, 52. And so she had a long-term boyfriend. You know, they're getting married now. But like, so me and her became friends, like coworkers. We're really friends outside of work now, right? So I went to her graduation party and she's like, my boyfriend wants to meet you because he thinks he got a challenge at work. So he thought I was like 45 or something. And he met me. He was like, he don't want you. but I'm a new friend. And you know what I'm saying? So I understand his thing. But yeah, hey, like, absolutely.
Hey, how Uncle Rucky said, don't trust them new niggas over there.
Goddamn right. Niggas in that work husband, work wife. So I've seen that shit. Like, nigga, are you serious? You got a whole wife at the crib, nigga. Why you at work acting like this bitch work wife, nigga? That's
weird, yeah. When anybody ever says some shit like that and it involve me, whoa. We are cool.
We just cool.
We cool. Stop that bullshit. There's not nothing, no kind of work, nothing. Stop that. Mm-hmm. Fuck what you talking about. But so okay, so listen, I used to be like that, right? Like, I used to be real like the jealous type, even though my wife would be like, oh, you ain't got no jealous bone in your body. I'm like, all right, man, you just don't know. I'm fucking low-key crazy. You could ask my brother, but like, I mean, fine. I'm just a duck on water, man. So everything, I don't let shit bubble over. But when it go, it's go. It's gonna go like motherfucking it's gonna go like an abandoned house with a flame on it. It's gonna go. So like, I used to be like that, like, oh, you can't have opposite sex. You can't have friends opposite sex. Nah, I don't give a fuck. I don't know if it's because like I trust myself or I trust her more, or you know, I just be like, whatever, you know, I ain't shit gonna happen, or I've grown. It could be a combination of the three. She'd probably be like, nah, you wouldn't be like that. Cause she'd be like, oh no, you'd be talking about putting yourself in bad positions and put yourself in that position. I'm like, yeah, I used to say that, but now it's like, listen, if it happened, it happened. If something happened and you fuck up, then that's your fuck up. And I'm gonna make you wear the fucking Scarlet A all in the public and make you get, you know, the stone and shit. So it's just gonna make me look better if you fuck up. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Don't let me catch you.
Is it more so that?
Go ahead.
Is it more so that y'all like you more secure, or let me put it this way: is it more so like if it's a fuck up, you more forgiving towards the fuck up?
So yeah, and I was having this conversation with a couple of work buddies. Shout out to y'all because they listen to the show. By the way, they think Chris is crazy as fuck, and they like you, Smitty. You got fans. Y'all got fans. So we were talking about this the other day, and I was like, at this point, 9 years in, it depends on what happened, right? So if it was like an entire relationship that you didn't held for the last 2.5 years, and you motherfuckers like was low-key secretly taking secret vacations and shit like that, obviously I can't let that one slide, right? That's just, okay, you're in love with another person. You can't let that slide. If it was a drunken Vegas night or Jamaican night and you know, Winston was strolling along, swinging his dick all over the place and you just happened to fall on it, all right, man, listen, you know, I ain't gonna blow up the whole family. Obviously you do know now that the challenge has begun and that open season is upon us. You should realize that going forward, there's no frills in it. Like this is all, you know, all straight, no chaser, right? Like this is all straight to the head point, but I wouldn't blow up our family because you got kids, you got to separate, you got to explain for this. And I ain't ready for no nigga to be breaking bread with my daughters and I ain't in the house. I just don't want that to happen. And if I catch you, like I told them, I told them the other day, if I catch you, like my brother just said, hey, come on and stab the body, Jimmy Bones, because I need your evidence. I need you to be a part of this too. So like, if I go down, you going down with this because you had to be foul enough to fuck this nigga and I had to catch you. If I didn't see it, you know, sometimes you be on your Mario. I don't want to know. If you playing me, keep it on the low, right? Because if I find out, then I'm a rain down, you know, I'm going to cash you down with the sodomites. I'm fire and brimstone, so... You know, I'm just saying. What about you, Smitty? Like, how do you feel? about the, you know, like secure about your mate having a relationship with the opposite gender?
You know, I don't, that doesn't really bother me or do I care? Like, I'm not really, this is how I view relationship and my dating philosophy. Mm-hmm. There's too many people out there. I can leave you tomorrow. Like, yeah. I don't care. I love you. I don't care. Like that, having this whole like, oh, you can't have friends and things like that. I'm not, that's too much worrying and too much stuff that I got to be caught up on. It is. I gotta be out here making my legacy. If you want to be a part of my legacy, go ahead and fuck that up if you want to.
That's true.
Right? Like, I don't care. Go fuck that up. You can be out on the outside looking at me and my legacy like, ooh, I could have been that chick. Yeah, you could have been, but you chose not to. So
you played yourself.
Like, so I don't, like, that stuff don't even worry me. Like, oh, you are with so-and-so. Okay, do your thing. Am I gonna be hurt and devastated? A little bit, but at the end of the day, I'm gonna pick myself right back up and I'm gonna continue my legacy. And you're gonna be the one on the outside, like you'll be looking through that window, like, oh my God. Oh my God, I should have never fucked up. And then you're gonna be like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not gonna be controlling. I'm not gonna be in a thing trying to figure out who you doing, what, like, oh, you ain't tell me about this new nigga over here. I don't care. Like, listen, as soon as I find out, like I said, a sexual encounter, I'm pretty probably like, okay, shit happens.
That's what, right? I'm saying. Right.
Like, we all have those things where we like,
hey,
give me a pass. I know who I'm going after, right? Like, absolutely. We all have those few moments, but at the end of the day, like, if you over there watching Netflix and shit,
that's what I'm saying. Like, y'all
having dates,
you having dates and shit, and like, fuck that. Yeah, you got a whole relationship with a motherfucker. Like, fuck that. Like, I can't. Like,
if you just fuck a nigga once, man, then all right, I can understand.
Yeah, like if it was on some, yeah.
I'm fucking some bitches to get even.
I mean, please believe.
Wait. Not one, some.
No. Because you were the perpetrator. So therefore, I have to make it better. Like, we're men, or we're males with, you know, fragile egos. So therefore, I have to look better in this situation. So you fuck one, I fuck 16. I think those are equal numbers to me. But
fuck your cousin.
Yeah, or your sister. Yeah, your friend. Something like, you better hope it ain't, you know, it ain't brutal. Cause it might get brutal. Yeah. But with that said, you know, like you said, I agree with you, Smitty, right? Like, you could do bad by yourself and I don't need to be miserable with you. I'm just not willing to sacrifice everything at this juncture, the stage of the game where I'm at.
Yeah, I got 20 years in.
How do you maintain a strictly friendship with the opposite sex, right? Like, how do we do that? Like, I know we both talked about, like, having opposite sex friends. I think the biggest thing is you got to be able to have an open relationship. You got to be able to have an open dialogue with that friend and not let it be. Don't ever let it get weird, right? They never let it get weird. And if it starts to get weird, you need to immediately tell that friend, like, hey, I feel like you got some feelings for me. I'm just going to have to be honest. I don't feel that same way. Do we need to stop it? Like, you need to break those ties if there is somebody developing something on one end or the other.
No, man, it's an easier way than that. Just to put your dick on the table. And she'd be like, hey, go for it. Well, I mean, you know, it's time to cut that off. And she's gonna be like, what the fuck are you doing? Hey, I'm read this situation wrong. My bad.
Wow.
I just think it's about being able to have a conversation and being honest with your friend, saying, I don't feel that way. And if you can establish that, if it's a new friendship, establish that up front, like early on,
right?
Like, you know, are you married? You know, like, hey, I'm not trying to, like, meet the spouse.
Yeah.
Meet the, you know, like, don't make it a secret. Like, the things you don't do, like, things, one of the things that you don't do when you got a friend, don't make it secret. Right, like, if the chick calls you, answer the phone in front of your wife. Mm-hmm. Like, don't go off into the back room. Like, hey, what's up? Like, that's fucking your shit up already. Yeah. Answer the phone. You know what I'm saying? Like, go to lunch. Invite your wife to lunch. Like, hey, yeah. I want you to meet my coworker. I want to meet you, my friend. You know what I'm saying? No, don't do that.
My wife's crazy. I'm not doing that shit.
Yeah, she is kind of crazy. But you're not picking up new women friend anyway. But you know what though? In your wife's defense though, I would probably be crazy for you too, because you were a little raunchy a little bit. I know you would.
We gave this nigga a little raunchy. A little raunchy. The last episode said he put his foot on the back of bitch and then tried to play ventriloquist 3 episodes ago, but not a little raunchy. Okay. I mean, I got you. You're right.
Oh, me, man.
I get it. I mean, you know, we learned the history in school, don't we? So we felt we don't repeat it. That's why the niggas got history books. You got one too. Yours is just thicker than others. That's all.
Man, I live life, baby.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. I agree with y'all. To me, there's just nothing off the table, right? Like you said, Smitty, I keep the conversation, you know, however what conversation you is, but I don't like hide it from my wife. I tell her about it, or I be like you said, you know, ain't nothing off the table. We ain't talked about it. I ain't share it with my wife and vice, you know, and hopefully if they got a mate, the vice versa. Cause I don't want nobody to be like, hey, you trying to fuck my home girl, your girl, my girl. Nah, man, it's not like that, bro. Man up, be more secure yourself. But I get it, man. Like I said, I was there at one point and I'd be like, man, I'll murder you. You know, but you can't. Like, what, you gonna spend the rest of your life in your jail because somebody, you know, your wife had friends with another person?
You gotta remember, a lot of niggas cheat on their old lady, so that's where that insecurity comes in. That too,
and that too. That too. If you're doing dirt, that's what it really is. You doing dirt.
Yeah, I think a lot of people insecurity come from the fact that they already doing dirt. You know.
Yep. I feel it.
So now you be like, oh shit, she got a male friend. Shit, I've been fucking with my work wife back and forth, and now I'm like, oh shit, what if she is? And not most of the time, most women are more loyal to their man than their man are loyal to them, which is crazy. But
man, I'm not gonna let you feel that bullshit stereotype against men. Black men don't cheat, bro.
I didn't say black men. I said all men, mostly white men, because they got the money to do that kind of bullshit. Well, brothers get the $40 bitches though. You know, 40 went a long way, you know, nowadays. So, you know, that's the funny thing I find, man. When I was growing up, pussy was at least $50. Nah, nigga, these hoes fucking for 40. These new bitches stupid, dog.
Hey, it ain't stupid.
Well, that's supply. Easy to get out of ATM 220. You can't get no 50 out no more.
Listen, it's supply.
And it ain't got no change.
Listen, now,
man, at least the hoes back in my time wanted at least 50.
Listen, it's supply and demand. It's more women or less men. So it's more pussy out here. So you got to lower the market value. Yeah, the market value on pussy is trading low. You got to check the charts. The charts, the RSI for pussy is overbought.
I guess so, because motherfuckers slanging their pussy out here for a hot 40 and a Coney dinner.
Not a 10 piece all flats.
Nigga, I'd be like, God damn, nigga, that bitch cost a bag and a. Sometimes it don't even be a 40. Nigga be like, nigga, that bitch a 3.5. Nigga, 3.5 is at $25 nowadays. Like, God, bitch. You just fucked this nigga and sucked him off for 25.
Supply and demand, man. I'm telling you, man. It's overbought. It's an overused commodity. It's oversaturated. If it's oversaturated, then what you gonna do? You gotta fit into the market trends.
Man, when I graduated high school, man, I knew a chick named Pussy, man. She fucked and sucked my. Oh, wait, maybe I shouldn't say that. For real.
Wow.
I would figure the statute of limitation is up on it, but you might want to edit that one, man.
All right. Thank y'all, fellas. Moving on to our final topic, which is our word from the people topic. And I want to know, why do we still find enjoyment in stereotyping and dividing ourselves and others by skin tone? Like a few weeks ago, I mean, it didn't air, but like a few weeks ago, me and Keenan was going back and forth with our colorism jokes, right? You know, and me calling him light bright. I mean, hell, for years, I used to call you white boy, bro. So, like, why do we do that? Like, why do we still find enjoyment in stereotyping and dividing ourselves and others by skin tone? Smitty, go, what you thought?
I think it's that same connotation that white people have. Like, it's a small privilege to be a little bit lighter, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? Where like I can, being light doesn't negate the fact is that, you know, you're better than me or any of that stuff, but it's just like, okay, well, Well, when you light, it's always been that, like, you the pretty boy and you can get more girls, and it's been around that kind of that thing, right? Where it's within our own thing, where it's like, it just kind of, I think it stems back to slavery, right? The house mentality, right? That house slaves were better because they got to be in the master's house, right? They had to be in the field, right? And I think, and to this day, it's happening in other parts of the world, in African genocide, right? Mm-hmm. That, you know, where they're killing off people because their skin is a different shade than other people, but they're the same people, you know? So I think it's always been that lighter skins have been the thing. Right. Like, because you can get close to white. And if you was light enough and you could pass, you was doing it. Right. You know what I'm saying? It's not a lot of, but what's really funny is white people always go tanning and they want to be dark as they could get. You know what I'm saying? Not too dark, though, not to be confused with a black person.
Well, I mean, I seen the video of a girl put some Pam on her leg while she was suntanning to get dark. That was the other day.
But you know what I'm saying? But I think it's just a matter of, I'm going to say, I think it's status. Like, if I'm light, I get status. Not necessarily in the white community, but like black people, like we all think this, you know, like light skinned niggas always got the girls. You know what I'm saying? Like when we was in school, who always was the nigga with the pretty nigga was always lighter than the group, and that always been a thing. So we always wanted to be kind of like Michael Jackson did it. You know what I'm saying? Regardless of what skin disease he claimed he had, he wanted to be light, and he's the only person that probably achieved close to whiteness as you can get. And like, I remember one time somebody was like, I remember one time when Michael Jackson was alive, he was suing Sony for racial discrimination, and I had totally forgot Michael Jackson was black. Like, I'd be 100% honest with y'all. He been white so long that I was like, oh, he is black. You know, that's, it's just that.
That's fucked up. That's so fucked up.
But I'm just saying, like, I think it's just around, I think it's around to being able to, like, a lot of lighter skinned black people are usually desirable in the nation than darker skinned black dude. But I see beauty as beauty, and it doesn't matter what color you are or what shade of black you are. You're black, and it's beautiful no matter what. So I think it's just, we have gotten into that thing where it's just, it's what we prefer and preferences and things like that. But it really is no real difference. If you really think about it, there's really no real difference. I wish Keenan was on the line, because there's really no difference between Keenan, you, me. Like, we all got our sweet, like, when you sit down and talk to us, we all got that same kind of idea, kind of same commonality, that it doesn't matter. Like, the skin tone doesn't affect us in any way, shape, or form.
I got you. Okay. Thank you for that. Chris, what's your thoughts?
I agree with Smitty. I think it goes back to that slavery time where
crabs in a barrel,
right next to white, has always been the greatest thing. If you even notice with like our older family members, sometimes they tend to cater more to the lighter people, or say, you know, it seems like lighter people are always better for some reason. But we need to get over that bullshit, man, and stop making each other feel, because it's a whole bunch of colors in the rainbow. And I think all our colors are beautiful. And I know me and you used to go back and forth as kids and just, you know, but now if somebody say something about you, talking about you dark, that shit gonna make me mad and I'm gonna fuck them up.
Yeah.
But yeah, me and you and just, you know, even we don't really do it no more, because it's old and we need to let it go as a race. But you do see it. And definitely when I was growing up, it was really prevalent, like especially with TV. Yeah. Like, see how like the kids would be lighter, or always it was like the light skinned chick was the finest chick that everybody went after, where the dark skinned chick people really didn't pay that much attention to.
Right.
Most of the time the dark skinned chick would be better looking.
Yeah.
But it's just something that's old, and it's something that definitely needs to be you think the word, the N-word need to be put in a box. Shit, that colorism shit definitely need to be put in a box and buried.
No, I agree. And I think, you know, like you're right. Like when we was kids or like you were seeing it from family members that, you know, oh, the lighter kid, you know, seemed to got more or they got special attention or like even just a lighter person in your family member, it seemed like they could do no wrong because, you know, they were light skinned. We not even talking about like, you know, back in the 60s, like the 90s, right? Like we still just had those people that because the way they grew up and the way they seen things and they, you know, just been ingrained in their thoughts and processes, they kind of took that and spilled that over to, you know, their children, grandchildren, and so on and so forth. So I think you're right. Like, I think you definitely need to get rid of it. Let me ask y'all this. Do you think there's jealousy from one side or the other when it comes down to skin tones?
Probably. Because you always got somewhere lighter want to maybe be darker because I'm pretty sure light-skinned people get, you know, the bun of jokes as well. You know, so as me being an even tone brother, I like where my complexion lie at. You know, I'm a little bit of best of both worlds.
Nigga say what?
Even tone,
man. I lie in the middle, man. You do the paper bag challenge, you know. I'm like, yeah, maybe.
In the right lighting, huh?
Depends on the bag. You can't get the one from the,
maybe.
He said it depends on the bag, right? You get one of the Light Castle bags. Don't get that McDonald's bag. That's too dark.
If you get a regular bag, man, I'm pretty white if I pull my shirt off, man. You know, my face is stuck, get some sun, but my undertone, I'm fairly light. I realized that the other day. I'm what is considered red bone. I even got a few red hairs.
And whoa.
Turning kind of gray.
I think we went a little bit way too far.
Did a grown man just refer to himself as red bone?
Hey, Smitty, you red bone too.
Whoa, he just took you down with him. Motherfucking misery really does love company. Way to circle back. He just blew up the spot. God, that nigga red bone too.
Is that his arm is the same light as mine?
Yeah, I know. Y'all both like got this glare coming on my motherfucking screen. I can't see it. I gotta cut down the contrast.
I definitely think there's jealousy among skin tones, right? I don't even want to say jealousy among skin tones. I think it's jealousy among the features that come with those skin tones, right? Like where a lighter dude may have really nice hair because his family has been whitewashed some a little bit, or they have really good eyes, things that come along with it. Mm. I don't know from a privileged standpoint that a lighter person, a lighter black skinned person and a darker black skinned person get treated differently. But I think there may be a little bit of something like, I haven't seen it in a while where there's a lot of people employed and they happen to be lighter skin. And then the darker skin people are working in like the warehouse and things like that. That used to be a thing, right? Where like you, like all the people in the office and the corporate jobs were lighter black people and everybody else was like the mailroom, you know, in the back. So I think we've learned to balance colors and things like that. So that colorism thing, I think it's still prevalent there today. Like, I'm not going to say it's not going to be there. It's still there, but I don't think that it holds us back as much as it used to, where like when we were in school, you know, like, you know, somebody who, you know, like we see it more like, I mean, I'm just going to say it, the lighter skinned dudes had the girls, like you used to hate their ass. Like you be like this nigga, he always picking up a fucking girl because he fucking light. You know what I'm saying?
Pretty ass hair. I think it'd be the hair. But most of them niggas bald now, if you know. All the white skinned niggas that we had the pretty hair.
And bald. But you had like, them niggas has, you know, some of them niggas had eyes. But to me, that was just, you know, that was just fishing bait, right? You know, they was the juicy night crawler and the hoes was the anglers, you know, ready to jump on that bait. You just got to use them.
But, listen. You had to have a light skinned nigga in your crew because that brought in all the girls. Because like we had one, his name was Earl. We had Earl. Earl was our light skinned lure, right? Because we put him out in the front of the car. Like we stay in a car, like both of us stay in a car, put Earl out there.
Yeah.
Earl like, later at the all girls be like, hey, you cute. And they bring their chicks over and then we all hop out, you know what I'm saying?
Gotcha, bitch.
Under the Wendy's dark light so they couldn't really see you.
Man, y'all niggas.
So like we all had that kind of thing, but now I think it's more, I think I see a lot of different like you know, skin tones and people mixing, and it's a lot different. Where I think for us, black is black. Like just being like it. Like when we was in high school, it was definitely a point of contention where it was light against dark and things like that. But now as we older, I think it's just black is black. Like we're in a struggle together. It don't matter if you know how light your skin is. We really do talk about it like among ourselves. Like Keenan's the lightest nigga on the show.
I know that was my light skin, my crew. You see, like on there.
Yeah, he was your lure. He was your lure.
He was all fashion. He was like all like iridescent and shit in the sunlight and shit. Go on out there, Edward. Like go ahead and shine and be all shimmery and shit. Love you, King Keys.
And now, now we see each other as just black, right? Like. Yeah, we talk about Keenan a little bit, you know, like we call him Light Bright. You know, we I put the little poster of the game on there, you know, with the Light Bright game, you know, that's, you know, Keenan was the same color as the lights on there, you know, just, but like literally, honestly, besides him being light, I don't see any real difference. Like, even thinking about it now, like, I'm like, Keenan is light, but like,
you just don't.
I don't give a fuck.
You don't pay no attention to it. I mean, but that's growth and maturity. And like, so you just brought up another interesting point is, because we make jokes or we may come up with it and we, you know, play the dozens with each other about, you know, skin tone, is that our way of taking power out of it? So like when we come up with jokes, when me and Keenan, I mean, granted, we were like 20 minutes going back and forth, but like it was funny and like everybody laughed. But like, is that just trauma or was we just taking the power out of it, just making jokes? Because at the end of the day, we friends, we family. Like we know it wasn't like no real beef there, but you know. So is that helping us? Like when we say these things, we make these jokes. Is that helping us take power away from it?
Are we desensitized?
Like if it's not so much that is a skin tone bias as much as it used to be versus, you know, in the house versus outside the house in the fields, that kind of thing in the back of the corporate office. Like, are we just making jokes?
I don't know. Like, I really don't think, I really think we're still perpetuating that colorism thing when we make the jokes. Like, I don't think it's really taken it. I try to think of another situation where jokes have been like, oh, it's made it better for somebody. Like, it's still horrible. Like, it's like, even like when they talk about, we still call racist jokes, right? We're in no better position because the racist jokes desensitize people towards us, right?
Like, nah, if anything, these niggas got way more creative with their racist jokes.
It is right? Funny. So, I'm a laugh. I'm not gonna hold you up. I'm a laugh, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know if the colorism thing, I think it's just more maturity among the people who have kind of outgrown it. Like, I think we've like, and then we're not teaching our kids that colorism things, right? Where our parents kind of taught some of that colorism to us, where, you know, like, oh, you know, like, you know, like you got a light skinned sister, you know, like your mama had light skin. She always been fast, or she always thought she was better because her skin was light. She had good hair, you know, like it was always kind of that talk about, where now we don't do a lot of that kind of things. Like you probably never mentioned colorism to your girls at all. Like anything related to that, you know what I'm saying?
Nah.
You know, say like, it don't affect us anymore. Like we just kind of like, it's what it is. Like,
but I think it goes to the fact that, like you said, like I think it was because of being family members, and that's carrying over for generations, and that it came to our generation and we seen a divide it was starting to cause between our family, who could have been like our best friends or cousins. And it was like, this is bullshit. Why? I'm the same person. And like each person could be dealing with their own internal struggle. Like a light-skinned person, black person could be dealing with the fact that they are light-skinned and that they may look different from their entire family, or vice versa, right? Like the dark-skinned person can have all light family members and be look different and have to deal with the tragedy of that. And it's like, well, let's not keep perpetuating this. Let me take away all this. Let me break the cycle of this going on within my family and other families, and let's just speak up against it right now. Like, even this conversation we're having today is kind of going along those trends of, hey, let's address something that's been in our culture, in our families for years. Let's address it to get it out there in the open, to get people to start talking about whether or not it's a good thing, bad thing, taking it, you know, like, is it trauma? Is it the crabs in the barrel mentality? Are we never going to get past the fact that we look like this? Is it because of the white people are keeping us down by keeping us divided, kind of thing, right? The haves and the have not. So I think this is just us going forward and keeping it going forward. And like the now generation, I mean, a lot more, you know, for all the crazy things, like, you know, the younger generations are doing, I think they do a lot of great breaking down barriers a little bit, breaking barriers and crossing lines and having conversations and being open about things like in mental health and anxiety and things like that. And I think this is one of those things that I think when it comes to colorism, current generation is just going to start, you know, slowly chipping away at it and starting to realize more and more, like, you're just, you know, your skin tone is going to start stop playing a role into how I view you, right? That kind of thing.
I only think that is true among the same group. Like, I still think the skin tone is still going to be a problem for generations to come between each group, right?
Right.
Until we can get around that we are all one people,
yes,
we're never going to get a path that, you know, like, oh, the black people, the Indians, the Chinese, the Japanese. I broke them out purposely because I hate grouping them as Asian sometimes. And so I think we just need to get to that stage where we're just people. And I think black people are getting there faster among each other, right? Where right. It's like, we're just, as everybody's black, you know, like, hey, you know what I'm saying? You know, like, even Barack Obama, right? Like, to this moment, Barack Obama is a biracial president, right? Like, he's half white, half black, biracial. But we own him. Like, and you know, and that comes from that whole drop of black blood thing, right? Like, you got a drop of black blood and you're black, right? But, like, no matter if you, like, because other races don't do that. They just don't do it. Like, we take them in. Like, Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods is Asian and black. Right. I think his mom was Vietnamese, though.
Right.
Like, Vietnamese and black. They see Tiger Woods as black. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't matter what your skin, like, the Asian people don't be like, oh, Tiger Woods is Vietnamese. Yay. You know what I'm saying? Like, even Kamala Harris, right? Kamala Harris is black and Indian. And they're trying to push both of those, but the Indian people don't see her as Indian. Her culture and her, like, things she do is driven more towards black people. You know, she's in a sorority and things like that. Like, things about her, she went to Howard. You know, things about her have kind of become like, I don't think when I talk to people like my coworkers that are Indian, they acknowledge that she's Indian, but not to the extent that we acknowledge that she's black. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, Kamala Harris is black vice president. Like I don't care what nobody say. You know what I'm saying? People are like, oh, you know, they're trying to balance it. But honestly, her being like, she's black. Like, we gonna hold that the case. You know what I'm saying? Biden's gonna put her ass in front of black caucuses and black groups. That's what he's gonna do. He has to. He has no choice. You know what I'm saying? But she's actually biracial. But until that other group accepts her and brings her in like we do, it won't be that balance.
Okay, I understand that. Any final words, Chris? You got any final words in regards to, you know, skin tones and how, you know, is it stereotyping? Why we enjoy it? You know, do you think it's jealousy? Like, any final words in regards to this?
No, I think we pretty much covered everything. I mean, it's definitely colorism. We all agree it's something that needs to go bye-bye. But as long as human nature is around, it never will be, because there's always going to be someone who, you know, has some kind of issue, because as long as the older generation is around to teach the younger generation stupid shit like this, it's always going to be around. Just like racism, I feel racism will probably always be around.
Nah, I agree. I mean, hopefully for the, you know, I doubt if we see it in our lifetime that it won't be around, or, you know, it's at least not that it won't be around, but that it's heavily frowned upon. I think it's trending in the direction of it being heavily frowned upon, but I think there's a long way to come. And I think when it comes to the colorism thing, I think it's history of trauma that's been passed down for generation and generation. And I like the cycle is going where we're trying to break it. We're having conversations about it, bringing it more to the forefront. We have people fighting and you see lighter skinned celebrities that stepping up and say, no, this role was written or has been written in the past for a dark skinned woman. Let them play this role, or dark skinned man. Let them play this role. Let's bring more dark skinned men into the conversation and let them play a role other than, you know, maids, driver, or, you know, some stereotypical token black dude, right? Like, let them be a genuinely written black person kind of thing. So I think it's trending in the right direction. I think, you know, it's, you know, hopefully at some point it is done away with. We can move past this colorism that keeps us divided at some point going forward. So thank you, fellas, you know, for y'all takes. Smitty, oh, I guess ain't nobody on here to get a spill, huh? Here, I say Sky Edibles. Go check out Sky Edibles, Sky_Edibles at Instagram for all your apparel with the clothing line, as well as your treats. I mean, King Key's got Rice Krispie treats, teas, all kind of for your edible pleasure. So go to Sky_Edibles. If you mention No Repercussions Podcast, you get 10% off all items. What else we got, Smitty?
So our socials are for Instagram, No_Repercussions. Our Twitter's In Repercussions. Our Facebook is Brunson.Smitty.1. And then our YouTube is No Repercussions Podcast is our YouTube. Content coming soon.
Thank y'all for listening to the show. We appreciate you. Like Smitty said, hit us up on our socials or email. Let us know you got any questions, comments. You want us to read your emails online. We will do that. Please hit us up. You got any topic ideas, we'd love to share them with you. Also, when we post these, you know, hop in the comments and talk about them. You know, if y'all got any questions or opinions in regards to our topics for this show or any of our shows in the past, let us know. So again, thank y'all for listening. And as always, continue listening and supporting the show. We love y'all. One.